Breakfast. It's Sleater Kinney with Untidy Creature, a single that's come off the back of their latest album, Little Rope. Back in January, they released their 11th studio album, Into the World. It was definitely one of the most anticipated releases of the year, even being that it's January. The iconic band have put out one of the most delicately layered records in their over 30-year career. Some really incredible singles coming off of it so far that we've had the pleasure of playing here on RTR. But the record itself is this wonderful meditation on what living in a world of perpetual crisis has done to us. After starting the recording for the record, Carrie Brownstein of the band received a phone call and it was tragedy. Her parents had died in a car accident overseas. The person who actually received this phone call was Corinne Tucker. After losing the emergency contacts or changing numbers, it turned out that Carrie Brownstein had had changed her number, but Corinne Tucker was her emergency contact. That emergency contact relationship is one that reflects how close these band members have been for their over 30-year career. And across this record, as they return to the studio to record it, you can hear this pull between them, dealing with this tragedy from Carrie and Corinne coming through with these huge lyrics and massive meditations more broadly on what crisis meant, where Carrie dealt with and really found catharsis in playing across this record. I got the chance to catch up with Corinne Tucker after the release of the album and talk a little bit more about it. There's some exciting news coming out of the Sleater Kinney camp too today, and we'll get to that after our chat. You had started to record the record and then the accident happened, the disaster sort of struck. What was it like to go back into the studio? Did those songs kind of take on new meanings? Did you scrap songs that you'd been working on when you went to sort of finish up this record?
Well, it just was a heavy feeling, you know, because Carrie was going through such a difficult thing to go back in the studio. And, you know, but she's a really hard worker and we were dedicated to like really making the album. But I think that intensity of feeling kind of made its way into each of the songs when we were working on them, whether or not they were about grief or loss. I think everything had a sort of heightened quality to the emotion of the songs. And the thing is that we did record more than the 10 songs that we put on the album, but the ones that didn't quite stand up to that feeling are the ones that we left off. Because anything that sounded a little casual just didn't fit with what the rest of the song sounded like, because they were so, you know, there was so much tragedy in the lyrics. So, yeah, I think the vocal performances just got pushed into a different realm when we had this kind of, you know, tragic situation that we were just coming out of.
There's a lot of drama on the record, and I really appreciate that, you know, Say It Like You Mean It has this kind of crisis feeling about it, and the album kicks off with Hell, which feels like you arriving in this insanely spectacular way. Your vocals like absolutely ripping through this whole record, really. But Hell was a song that you brought to the studio. Could you talk a little bit about bringing that in and introducing it?
So that one, I mean, I wrote that over the summer of 2022. I wrote the demo of that. I mean, that is a weird song because it basically came to me. I was standing in a record store in LA, and sometimes when I listen to music in the background of my head, a song will just come in, an idea, a melody, and that all came kind of at once. And, you know, I think the idea of that song was playing with this idea that we've sort of normalized this culture of violence in America that we've just decided that that's just how things are in America. And it's just bizarre what human beings can sort of talk ourselves into living with as just how things, you know, what our state of affairs is. And so I think that I was playing with that idea and trying to turn it on its head a little bit and give it the chorus, which was sort of the moment where you reject all of that and you ask each other, like, what are we doing here, you know? And so I had the song demoed, and I sent it to Carrie thinking, like, I don't know about this one. This is pretty weird. And she was like, yep. Let's go for it. And I felt the same way when I brought it to John Congleton. He absolutely loved it and got it right away. And, you know, I had never worked with him before. And I was like, well, there's, you know, there's like this quiet vocal thing and this really loud vocal thing. He was like, dialed it like really fast. Like he got it and wanted it to make it as dramatic as possible. Like he didn't shrink anything away. He just wanted to lean in. To that dramatic feeling. So that's when I was kind of like, oh, I think this is really going to work out.
It's a really exciting song. And yeah, working with John, I'm curious to know what that was like to going into this record, making it with a new producer. I know you've obviously worked with lots of different producers, but, you know, what was it like working with John Congleton on this record?
You know, John is really, he really comes from the same community that we do. Like, he was in a band called Paper Chase. It was on Kill Rock Stars. So, like, we just immediately clicked in the studio in terms of work ethic. How are we going to do this? What's the setup? You know, like, he understood the pace. Like, he's a very fast-working, hard-working person and wanted to get through a whole song a day, which suits us very well because we're always used to working that way. And, you know, like sort of how I was explaining with Hell, like he wanted to lean into, you know, the drama of the songs, the eccentricity of the songs, everything about our band that is unique and kind of weird. He just wanted to amplify that, with using different tones and distortion, but I felt like our taste matched really well while we were working on the music. So that was a really fun collaboration with him.
I feel like what I've read about a lot of the sort of solace that Carrie took in finding a guitar, playing a lot of guitar again through the grief after the accident with her parents was really interesting to read about, to sort of find that solace. And the things that we find solace in, I think, is really interesting, the way that we process grief. And I think in the same vein, it's really interesting what we find cathartic. And I think, you know, a song like Untidy Creature on this record has this insane catharsis, and it feels kind of like, you know, almost like a silly stadium sort of song. It has this almost anthemic quality to it. Do you like leaning into something anthemic like that? Do you find it cathartic to write and sing and create songs like that? Or is that something that you find, you know, takes energy away from you rather than, you know, helps you process?
No, I think it does. I think I do naturally lean into that as, like, you know, a young person that really loved those kinds of rock songs. You know, I think that's sort of, that song came to us so naturally. It was like our natural instinct. Yeah, Untidy Creature was the first song that we wrote for the album.
Really? Whoa. Okay, cool.
But we weren't sure about it. We kept sort of putting it on the back burner and saying, like, well, that one seems like it's maybe too, you know, simplistic or too much like other stuff we've done. Like, we just weren't sure about it for a long time. And I wasn't even sure when we recorded it in the studio. I was like, is it too much? Is it too emotional? But everyone else was like, no, I absolutely love that song. Yeah, it just really resonated. And that's what's great about having such good collaborators, that, you know, people were able to make me realize what was sort of special about it, you know.
Do you think that you end up putting a lot of your vulnerabilities on show, do you think that, you know, the band gets to be this vessel for a lot of your thoughts, or do you not think about music that way? Do you try and write from a, I don't know, not an objective place, but because that would be difficult, but do you, you know, feel like the band holds a lot of, you know, the ways that you're feeling about the world? Maybe that's a silly question, but yeah, interested to know if that's how you feel about the band after still all this time.
Yeah, it is really very much a vessel for our feelings, our stories, and how we see the world and what we're thinking about. And that's, it just, it's not the easiest thing in the world. It sometimes does make me feel super vulnerable and like I've overshared every time, you know, even though that I'm writing through a character most times, you know, sometimes I'm even writing through the character of a dog on this record. But sometimes by writing a character, you're getting at an interior feeling that is hard to be described another way. And it is almost more personal, I think. And so Untidy Creature, I didn't think that should go on the album because I was like, oh, that's way too much, obviously, you know? So I think your subconscious brain and your, you know, what kind of you naturally gravitate to as an artist, and then your like grown-up brain is like, we don't need to put that on the record, you know? And so there's kind of like a discussion back and forth between what constitute a, you know, an impactful song. It sometimes is very personal.
I feel like this record is personal. It's, you know, so much for Carrie about grief, and it feels so much for you, this sort of mourning and meditation support almost, but then taking of these sort of processes or thoughts that you're trying to get through about, yeah, existing, about this about the country that you live in, about, you know, parenthood in the US and about crisis, and it feels very essential and very needed. It feels cathartic to listen to it, so I can imagine that it's creating it is the same way. I'm curious about a quote that I read that you got from a funeral director on this record. The thing you fear the most will hunt you down. I think I saw it reported somewhere, but I wasn't quite sure of the story, so I wanted to ask where that line had come from and what drew you to it so much.
Yes, so this is Carrie's story. I'll try and relay it my best. So I believe that the man is a poet and a funeral director, and his name is Thomas Lynch. And he was being interviewed on a podcast about grief. And did I say he was a funeral director?
Yeah, he
was talking to a family, this father, about burying his child. He lost his child.
Wow.
And the father is the one who said, the thing you fear the most will hunt you down, about losing a child. I mean, losing someone that you love most in the world. And so this is before Carrie lost her mom. She had written that down as Whoa. Just like a very impactful line, something that really stuck with her. And it just, you know, in writing Hunt You Down, that line just became, you know, kind of like a mantra for her, I think, and in trying to process, like, grief is something that will happen to everyone. Loss is something that will happen to everyone. And I think that was useful to her in reminding her that, you know, it's part of life. That everyone who lives and loves will lose someone, and it's awful, but it's sort of like the other side of the coin, I guess, in terms of being alone.
Corinne Tucker speaking to me ahead of some pretty special news that they're about to put out. And after the release of their album, Little Rope, it's 30 years since they formed as a part of the Riot Girl movement. The alt-rock icons have put out this wonderful record, Little Rope, towards the end of January. And I caught up with Corinne to talk all about the record and about some pretty special news. It is 30 years since since they formed as a part of the Riot Girl movement, and they're coming back today announcing that they're coming back to the country where they recorded their self-titled debut album just in one night back in 1994 here in Australia. They're coming all the way from Olympia in Washington and bringing all of their punk, iconic indie riffs and big wailing vocals, all that soaring. They're coming back to Australian shores for the first time since 2016 with headline shows in theatres all around the country. Here in Borloo, they'll be playing over in Wallylup over at Metropolis. There'll be all sorts of info coming out about it, but the tour obviously coincides with the release of this 11th studio album, and I did ask Corin what she thought about coming back to the country where they recorded their first record.
We're thrilled. Like, we've been wanting this to happen for a long time. We've been working on it, and obviously we've gotten help like putting it together, so we're grateful for everyone who's helped us put it together, but we're thrilled to be coming. And And Australia is obviously a very special place for us. It's where we came over and wrote our first album, you know, and so we are very excited to bring this album to people there and to play the songs live. You know, it's really fun. These songs are, like, as you said, they're very cathartic, but they're also, you know, they do have like an upbeat melody to them that I think works really well, and you know, so we're excited to see how people react to them live.
It's going to be a terrific time to be able to see Sleater-Kinney touring after 30 years together and coming back to the place where they recorded that first album. When Carrie Brownstein spoke about it, she referred to it as one of the band's spiritual homes would be Australia. But Corin Tucker on Brekkie talking to me this morning a little bit about Little Rope. What an absolute pleasure. We're going to get into a track from the record, Little Rope. This is Hell on Brekkie.
Hell is desperation.